And we're back. What is up? Welcome to the Culture and Cannabis Podcast. It is episode number 25. Good number. It's only only one number older than me. I'm 24, so
it's a quarter of 100.
Quarter of 100. We're gonna get to 100, and I can't wait and remember about episode number 25. But listen, we got a great podcast for you today. We have someone who is near and dear to my heart from Reno. Shout out to Reno. It's Seth Dines. Seth, what's up, man? How we doing?
What's happening? Good to see you guys.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. So, Seth, listen, I see that you have something in front of you that's also near and dear to my heart. It's called a Puffco Peak. Yeah, because they have multiple products. So that is also a Puffco. You made a design recently.
Yeah.
Which was like, if anyone's seen the banana design with the tape on it, Seth did one with his Puffco and did a piece of tape on it, which I thought was super sick.
Wait, what are you talking about here? A banana?
Have you not seen that?
Yeah. In Miami, okay. Art Basel.
Okay.
Right? You know, and some.
Wait, is it Basil or Basil?
I think it's Basil.
Basil.
Okay. I say Basil.
I never feel cool enough to like
Basil. Ask, but I think there might be like an accent or something on it.
But Art Basil.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So
and then it was like it went for $1 million.
Yeah, with a banana.
Exactly. Okay.
So cool. Seth designed a Puffco with like it taped to a wall.
Right.
It looks super dope.
And I recolored it to be like a banana.
Yeah.
I love bananas. Like I always do like a banana design on something. Like I did a banana sticker once and I just had like random banana stuff. So it was like, all right, like a banana, Puffco banana. It was cool. I just liked it. Yeah. Just for fun. You know,
yeah.
Just cause.
So you're a cannabis creative.
I am a cannabis creative.
Is that fair to say? Or?
That's fair to say. Yes.
Nice. Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
So like, you know, for people that don't understand what a creative is, you want to dive in on like what your day-to-day looks like, what sure, it means to sure. be a creative?
Yeah, I mean, a creative, it's more about problem solving. It's like figuring out what the issue is, what the needs are to solve that issue, and then present it in a visual way. Like that's how I do a lot of stuff is visually, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to like cannabis creative, it comes to, depending on what you're doing, it could be social, but I do a lot more packaging design. That's kind of, that's okay. More where that's my wheelhouse. Nice. So, you know, like dialing in package stuff, it's like you guys just went through that with this wonderful little design.
Yes.
Of what's gonna go on it, what's the artwork gonna look like, who are we marketing this to, how big should it be, you know, that sort of stuff. So it's like, it's just asking questions and then going somewhere creative, finding inspiration, and just making it happen.
I love that. And I want to dive into this word, the creative word, right?
I think it's, I'm happy that you brought this up because I want to dive into it too. Because I feel like a lot of people don't understand what it means to be a creative, right? They think of the word creative, like, you know, that means you're good at making up ideas, right? But that's not the case when it comes to being a creative.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a hot term or whatever. And you know, it's almost kind of a hip term. I don't think there's really one definition for being a creative, right? Other than, you know, it's more than being a hipster on Instagram, right?
Totally,
takes, you know, cool pictures and stuff. But, you know, back in the day, there was artists, right? And there was artists that would, you know, have the different mediums and stuff like that. And I think as technology has moved forward and all the different, you know, artist platforms that are available and all this stuff, you know, being an artist and creating content is kind of the, you know, the cost of entry into any small business, right? And so you need to get an artist, if you will, or a creative on your team that can help you kind of navigate through the different platforms of design to kind of get your brand or your business out there.
Right. And I think that there's a difference between artist and creative, right?
Okay.
Because I wouldn't consider myself an artist, you know, like I know good art, you know, but me to personally sit down and like sketch out something super custom, like, no, I'm going to go to somebody that I know already does it like way better than me, right? So like, it's more like, I feel like that's a kind of an entrepreneur mindset too. Like you have to be creative. You have to also know at least one or two other creative people to kind of get some stuff together, like investor decks, get a website together, right? Like start an Instagram. Like you have to be creative. You got to come up with designs on some level, even if they're pulled from somewhere else, right? Like
of course,
coming with like your profile picture, you know, that takes something. Having a logo, like, you know, good or bad, it's still a logo and you had to figure it out somehow. So I think that that's, I like the term creative because I'm also into like strategy. You have to be creative to be in strategy, right?
So yeah, 100%. So how'd you get started? Like, what's your background? Did you go to school for design to be, you know, to be this, you know, creative, or something that you kind of taught yourself?
I always messed around with it as a kid, you know, like making skate videos with friends when we were like younger, you know, stuff like that. And then messing around in paint just cause, like, made a logo and when I was with my friends, and we built the skate park in my hometown. So like, I've always kind of had that creative flow going.
Where are you from?
Sorry. I'm from Northern California, a small town in Northern California called Loyalton, and moved to Reno like shortly after, because if you don't want to do anything fun or exciting, you go to Reno to do it. Like, so it's like Reno is kind of hometown, but Loyalton's where I grew up. So went to school for graphic communications, learned a whole bunch there, but then it's, you know, my cannabis creative start happened much later, you know. I wasn't into that at all. I was into like digital agency, so I designed and tested and played with apps, websites, you know, did branding and stuff, and I learned that through, like, you know, that whole world, you know,
traditional digital marketing,
exactly,
stuff like that.
Totally, and like, you know, development and technology, so that sort of thing. And then I've always been overweight like my whole life, so it's like always a battle, and that brings health issues and stuff. So like how cannabis like entered my life is, I'd had a long history of health issues. I was in a bad car accident when I was 16, and that just gets you started immediately, like in the big pharma medical world, right? Like you're
because
in it.
It's like a referral system, right?
Absolutely.
So you get hurt, right? And then you go to the doctor, and then the doctor can't give you exactly what you need, so they need to send you to a pain specialist, and then, right, it's the system, right?
It's the system, totally.
Yeah. And so, then, I don't mean to interrupt you, but
you get it, right? So it's like, and ever since then, I've had chronic pain. So that's, you know, like, pain pills is just part of life. I had resigned in my mind that, like, yeah, I'm going to take these pills the rest of my life, you know, so whatever, you know, but that brings on, you start one and then before you know it, you're on 10. Okay, that's a hyperbole, but you get my point.
Of course. And I think that's what happens, right? And let's dive into it a little bit. So like, you know, you get hurt, right? And you don't know what to do, right? It's not like you plan to get in a car accident, right?
Not at all.
Or, you know, for a lot of people, and, you know, it happens, and then you go to the doctor, and then you get thrown into a solution by the doctors, right? Mm-hmm. Which is pain pills, right? Mm-hmm. And then what you don't realize is that you're going to get physically addicted,
right?
And then through that physical addictive kind of like scenario, it kind of sets in on you mentally, and you might think, oh, this is my future.
Totally.
I'm physically addicted to the pain pills. You know, I have chronic pain. So I guess this is my future.
Right. What are my options outside of that? That's it.
That's crazy.
And probably at the time there wasn't anything else,
right?
As much as you knew, right?
Yeah, right. Cannabis wasn't in the mainstream positive culture anyway. You know, it was, my parents called it pot, and I got grounded for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, that was definitely not a solution, let alone like an effective pain solution, right? So
did you use it for a solution that?
I ended up trying that. Yeah.
Okay.
So I got to just like the end of my rope. I got really sick in 2015, bunch of life circumstances, and I was just in a bad spot without a job. I was super sick, like bedridden sick. I had just gotten out of the hospital. I was going through a divorce, like a lot of stuff, you know? So, my insurance was lapsing too. And, you know, pills are super expensive if you don't have insurance, right? So I was kind of like forced, but it was like, I need to do something different. I want to do something different. What else is there, you know? And so it's like turn of 2016, and all of a sudden dispensaries in Reno are opening, you know? And I'm like, oh, okay, you know? And I'm doing more research, and it's like, you know, cannabis. And I've known from my high school days, you know, like you smoke and you feel better, right? So in your mind and in your body, whatever, you know, but I hadn't utilized that at all since like teenage years. So coming around to it and saying, okay, there's medicinal properties here, but why, you know? So that, like, and I have a pharmacy technician background, so I was a pharmacy tech, so I care about science, you know? Like, we're in an age where cannabis and science are finally gonna get together and make some beautiful love, and we're gonna see a lot of anecdotal evidence that everyone already knows, it's going to get answered by science. So that kind of got my attention, is because it's legal. I could go buy it. I just had to get a prescription at the time. I fit the bill for that. So I'm like, yeah, let's do that. So I tried it, and I stuck with it, but it was really hard at first because I was like super stoned, right? I was just like uncomfortable, right? Mm-hmm. I was trying edibles, tinctures, you know, vape, dabs, just flower, trying everything because each one hits you different, right? So then that led down to like understanding terps, and it's not about strain names. It's not about indica. It's not about sativa. It's about the science of terpenoids and cannabinoids. Cannabinoids.
Yeah. Right. How are you saying
tomato,
that?
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah, tomato, tomato. I know one time I watched a podcast where this lady corrected this guy on the podcast. Oh, yeah. It's like, it's not cannabinoids, cannabinoid. Cannabinoids. I was like, all right, lady, geez, so settle down.
Right. We're tomato, potato.
Yeah, whatever you say, we'll understand it. Yeah. So 2016, you get your medical card, mm-hmm. and you know, I love Reno just as much as you do, obviously. What dispensary were you going to, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, because I'm also like in creative and I didn't have a job, and I'm like, all right, well, freelance it is, you know, like I didn't really want to get back into an agency. It's just, plus that, you know, they drug test there and I was now using cannabis. So I'm like, I'm not going to stop, you know, like it helped me. I got off of opioids in 2015 because cannabis helped me. Mm-hmm. Like
I love that because, I mean, I'm going to frame it up because so many people use cannabis when they were kids. Mm-hmm. Right, or they, you know, from Generation X, yeah. right? Like, you know, we were listening to fucking Dr. Dre. You know yeah. what I mean? The Chronic came out.
I can't relate.
But yeah, I was 13.
I'm a millennial.
Yeah, I was 13 when the Chronic. Elder okay, millennial. I'm a Gen X, full force, right? You know, Dr. Dre came out, seventh grade, we're smoking weed. Mm-hmm. And that was my experience. And I think a lot of younger people's experience with cannabis, and it's that recreational thing in the beginning. And a lot of people, you know, when you grow up, you know, you understand that it's illegal, and you know, maybe you went to jail for it, so you have to kind of get away from it. But for a lot of people, you know, life is rough, and it comes with a lot of struggles and mm-hmm. Trials and tribulations. And for a lot of people, people get away from cannabis, but through, you know, medical situations or different things, they get reconnected with the plant on totally. This medicinal level. And right. I think it's a beautiful thing. And yeah. I have the same story, right? And I got reconnected through that cannabis mm-hmm. Opioid, you know, mm-hmm. how they kind of help you through that situation. So
right.
that's a beautiful thing.
Right, but through a different lens, right? Instead yes. of just like yeah. culture and like what your friends are doing, mm-hmm. into like more like, this is actually really helpful and this can help people.
Well, for me, and to get back to what you were saying, I had a similar belief of my life. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought that being addicted to opioids was a lifelong sentence for me.
That's a good way to put it.
And and it's hard to explain for somebody that hasn't really been there, you know what I mean? But for totally. The people that have been there, they understand that, you know, the withdrawals are so kind of like physically painful mm-hmm. that you feel like you're stuck and you can't yeah. you feel like
yep.
You feel stuck. If I go through the withdrawals, then I'm going to be too sick to go to work. I can't get out of bed. How mm-hmm. am I going to pay my bills, right? You're stuck in this cycle of mm-hmm. it's not like really getting high, but it's just to not be sick, right?
I think it's to like alleviate discomfort, mm-hmm. right? Like yeah. You know, if I get off of this, it's just going to bring more discomfort. What is there outside of that, you know? Like going through the detox is discomfort.
Yes.
And then on the other side of it, sure, I'm clean, but I'm still going to be in discomfort, yeah. right? And yeah. I think that cannabis, not to hijack you here, but like cannabis bridges that gap and allows for a different type of space. Because it's not just like the pills you take and then if you go off them, it's more like you got to go to for C2 medication, you got to go to the doctor every month. Mm-hmm. You got to go see the doctor. That means time, right? And then you got to go to the pharmacy. And now it's even more, I don't even know what it's like now, but at the time, you know, you got to go wait. And some pharmacies, depending on where you live, you have to wait 2 days. So it's mm-hmm. like psychologically, you're counting. Oh man, it's a whole, it just made me all sad inside right now. Just like kind of reliving that.
Yeah, you know, it's the cycle. But cannabis can aid in a person's journey when they actually decide mm-hmm. that there is life after
yes.
opiates.
Yes, it is a decision.
Cannabis can aid in that process of getting through those withdrawals.
And mm-hmm. it's, yeah.
So
yeah, totally.
I just really want to go in there because there's so many people that suffer with it.
Yeah. You know, speaking of cameras, let's light up that puff
absolutely.
Go.
The puff absolutely.
Go? Yeah. So
what color are you?
Blue.
All the way. Okay.
So for those that don't know, Puffco Peak is
a
dab machine based out of New York. It's a beautiful machine. I have one. You don't have one yet, but you're gonna get one. Seth has one, and it is just awesome.
Huge fan.
Did this vibrate?
For people who don't like the flower.
You gotta turn it on the double click. Is it blinking?
Oh no, it's going.
One thing I really like about this is it's so. I have a harder time with some of the cannabis culture because I don't want the stoner vibe at all. You know,
of course.
I don't like bongs. You know, I'm not that into the super flowery, flourishy. You know, like for me, it's medical, clinical. Yes, it is fun too, but for me, it's a little bit more straightforward and you know. Like straight shooter stuff. And to me, this is a little bit more non-intrusive than pulling out like a joint or you know, a bong. I think I've taken it over to my parents' house before and they were just like, you know, and before it was like, no, thank you. But this was much more, they're like, oh, that's neat. It's a little medical device for your dabs. Mm-hmm. And I don't smoke flower, so this is my everyday driver.
What do you usually smoke? Obviously you say you don't smoke flower, but what are you smoking? What brands?
Dab. Brands.
You're good to go on that.
I mean, for me, really, it comes down at where I am right now. It's budget, and I don't think I'm alone in that. But
I think that's 80% of the market. To be honest with you,
totally.
I feel like a lot of people are. Sometimes I think in the cannabis industry, people get kind of put into this place where it's like, I definitely want to use cannabis and I want it to help me, but it's also not cheap.
Right.
It's definitely not cheap, especially, you know, if you have a family and kids. I'm in a different situation. I'm single, not married, you know, live with my parents. I don't have bills, right? So I can go, you know, spending a stupid amount of money on cannabis where a lot of people can't.
Right. Right.
And so it's unfortunate, but I think then going back to a medical program, it's super unfortunate that Nevada's medical program is so terrible compared to other states. I've been to Colorado and my buddy's been in the medical program there since 2014, and Colorado has it down pat. They treat the medical people like VIPs, like ultra celebrities, not like C-list celebrities, like A-list celebrities. And the prices are amazing, and they're the great thing about it is that, so the way Colorado works is if you want to grow a certain amount of plants, it is based off the amount of patients you have. So you get X amount of plants per patient. Well, the more patients you get, the more plants you can grow, which means the more weed you can sell at the end of the day, which I think is super interesting. And I think that, you know, hopefully that in the future, maybe Nevada thinks about doing something like that.
Yeah. I mean, me too. I mean, because it's, the patients get left behind. We talk about it all the time.
I know.
You know, it's
sad too.
It is sad because of basically everything that we just talked about. And, you know, I mean, yesterday I was watching TV, just laying in bed, and saw one of these medication commercials.
Happy New Year, by the way.
Happy New Year.
I didn't even. It's 2020, people. What's up? Yeah. 2020 vision. What's good?
Yeah, we're already so into the year. It's like, I'm congratulating. Let's just get to work.
Yeah, I was in 2020 like 5 months ago. So.
Yeah, we've been in 2020
planning mode for a minute.
Do you want another one?
I'm good for right now.
I think I'm good.
I'll have some after the podcast.
Okay.
So going back to obviously, so 2016, find cannabis,
yes.
You dive in, you're doing freelance, and so you're getting better, getting healthier, you're developing your business, and now you have a full-fledged design creative business called Seth Dines Designs.
Yeah, totally.
And so what's that all about? I mean, you have any clients that you're working with that are super cool that you want to talk about or anything of that nature? Well, what's your day look like? What do you, you wake up at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, you wake up, get a cup of coffee, maybe rip a dab, and then you're on the computer ripping some emails maybe, and then designing all day or what?
No, I have a 9-to-5 gig. You know, I still do freelance. That's the side part of life, you know? but I have a 9-to-5, you know, that's about like that company, and it has nothing to do with the cannabis space. It's a janitorial supply distributor company. So it's not like sexy products. You just don't talk about toilet paper and nitrile gloves.
But you got to source it. Somebody's got to source it.
Exactly. Right. It's never going to go away. It's recession proof. Mm-hmm. You know, it's for every industry, right?
Including the cannabis industry.
Yeah. Hit me up if you need to save tons of money on your janitorial supply needs, because that stuff is expensive.
Yes. I can imagine. And I think what's so great too, and I think we had Marnie on last week, and she has kind of a similar situation. She works her 9-to-5 and then has her side gig. And I think that so many people in the cannabis industry, unless you're directly like either working at a dispensary or a grow facility, are doing that. And either like me and JC, right? Yep. Me and JC also have like marketing clients and accounts that are completely outside the cannabis industry. And just because those are more established companies that could potentially pay more for marketing.
Right.
And I think it's interesting. Exactly. And so I guess the question I'm going to ask here, because I'm pulling a JC again, is how do you balance that? Like how do you like in your mind go, fuck, I got to be at 9-to-5, then I got my freelance, but then I got my kids, and then, you know, I have to have some personal time. You know, play video games or whatever it is, breathe, meditate, work out. How do you balance all that?
Very carefully. With like a diligent schedule, getting up before everybody by hours, you know, like I'm up at 5:30, you know, and I have me time, and then I got to get my kid to school like super early. And then I have another chunk of time that's like an hour and a half that I dedicate to like either freelance, personal development. And then it's like, okay, 9 o'clock comes, work through the day. Like I don't even take lunch. Like, lunch is for suckers, honestly. And then just work to the end of the day, get off, and like, you know, that's the time where I hang with my family and, you know, put my kid down, you know, at like 6:30. So that gives me and my wife a little bit of time, like 6:30, 7:30, whatever. And it's kind of like, okay, and like that's the start actually of like my freelance day. Like I have a little bit in the morning, but that's kind of like answering emails. If there's like settings like on a website, like I need to like, you know, make it good, just a short little job like in the morning. So it's like, and I'll dedicate like 3 hours, you know, like at the end of the day, 2 to 3 hours on projects, freelance, whatever, creative stuff, you know, and then it starts the same thing the next day, you know.
Nice. So. Monday through Sunday?
Monday through Saturday.
Yeah.
Monday through Saturday. Yeah. So you take off on Sunday?
Sunday is offline Papa. Yep.
Nice. Good. Yeah. Good. That's awesome.
I love it. I mean,
JC kind of has a similar schedule.
Yeah.
You have to be though, right?
Yeah.
If you want to be successful and do multiple things and be in multiple different pies, you have to delegate your time to those things.
Yeah.
So you have to be diligent for sure. Yeah.
I believe that we're all here to be creative.
Absolutely.
And to be expressive, and it takes work, right? You have to kind of grow into that and develop that muscle, that creative muscle, that you know, that thing that you can develop over time, that where you can create enough value to where you can, you know, hopefully eventually step away from, you know, the 9-to-5, right? And you know, I started with the 9-to-5 side hustle. I know Tony did. You know, our guest last week, it was all about the cannabis side hustle. And you know, I believe it's a journey. You got that 9-to-5. Sometimes, you know, when you get out of school or you go to high school, and you just got to go to work for somebody else, right? Because you really don't have that thing that you've developed that gives you enough, you know, value to kind of go out in the marketplace and demand
the juice,
baby.
The sauce.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. The sauce.
But it sounds like you're on that journey, and it's beautiful. Totally. Man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And you know, that's, and like my side hustle, that's Seth Designs. It's SethDinesDesigns.com. That's like
Seth Dines, SethDines designs.com. So I just want to make sure that's clear.
Yes.
Yeah. You did a quick plug. It's okay. We do big plugs on here.
Okay. All right. that makes me feel so much better. That's good. But for cannabis specific, I partnered up with a partner. Her name's Keita, and we do a consultation that's like specific, because that's like her and I put our heads together, and she's very business oriented, you know, and that's like for any successful brand, the business part of a brand is just as important as the product and
the creative side.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So it's kind of like coming full force with that, you know? So like, I'll take on smaller web branding stuff on my own all day, but it's like, I want that to be like, it's called Sweet Sauce. sweetsauce.co. That's the website.
Nice.
And that's like the, you know, the consultation, you know, we do SOPs and, you know, like documents, you know, we've worked on several applications. Now we're working on like two different house of brands. It's one located in North Carolina with a hemp collective, and then one we're kind of like trying to launch here.
Nice.
It's called Ambulera.
Yeah. Cool.
And that's just having like different verticals, you know.
Of course.
Yeah.
You have to.
Or you don't, and you can be like a brand that has pre-rolls and concentrate and flower, right? So just, I mean,
products
can.
Only. Yeah.
Right, but I believe more where we're at is like solving individual problems with mm-hmm. brands, right? So yeah. That's why creating like different brands verticals. So instead of having like one company that does all those products, it's like have one the company just do one thing. So like just does concentrates, you know. Mm-hmm. One that is just edibles. You know, one that's just like a salve and or a mm-hmm. lotion, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of believe more in that. And if you see any like the big players right now, that's what they're doing. Like Cresco. Yeah, Cresco Labs. Like yeah. They're nailing it. Like
yeah.
They're doing it real big, and they're doing it the right way, in my opinion. Maybe not like in their culture, and I don't know. That's complicated though, right?
Of course. I mean, cannabis company culture is, I mean, totally. Unbelievably complicated. And at the end of the day, it's the wild, wild west. So it's like,
totally.
You know, it's not, you know, this isn't the automotive industry or like the lumber industry, right? This is a brand new industry where you have mm-hmm. people from, a lot of people coming from tech, a lot of people coming from alcohol, mm-hmm. a lot of people coming from marketing. And then like weird areas, like people are coming from insurance or like,
right.
You know,
yeah.
like I know people who came from guns, people that are like, my family, you know, were big gun sellers, and we had enough money and right time, right place. We got a license and we opened a dispensary.
Totally.
So yeah. it's weird, but that's what the cannabis industry is. So mm-hmm. you bring all those cultures together, and then you build this cannabis culture where it can be very, very toxic mm-hmm. or very, very fun and cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's really been a company that's nailed the fun and cool part yet, but there's mm-hmm. been a bunch that have nailed the toxic one. And that's just a matter of difference of, you know, personalities and oversight. But looking forward, right, you know, mm-hmm. you have mm-hmm. guys like all three of us that want to build these awesome companies that understand yes. the cannabis culture.
Yes.
And we want to build companies with culture that are, you know, one, mainstream. Everyone knows what's going on. You know what our ethics are. You know what our morals are. You know what we're trying to do. You know what we're trying to accomplish. We're not going to backstab you, and we're not going to be rude to you. We want to just have good people doing good work.
Yeah. Don't be a dick, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
Do not be a dick. Yeah. I made a tweet. Yeah,
exactly.
I made a tweet almost a year ago to the day that essentially said, you know, you gotta be careful who you surround yourself with. So don't, you know, don't look for any assholes in 2020. Look for all the nice people.
That's what it is.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Listen, that's a great episode. Thanks for coming out. You got anything to plug?
Yeah, plug yourself, Seth. What's your IG, Facebook? Tell me your website again.
All right.
Give out your phone number if you want to.
Website is SethDinesDesigns.com. My IG handle is DethSigns. It's DethSigns. Hit me up there. That's just for like fun and goofiness, you know, weird stuff I see. A little bit about my life.
I like it.
Let's see, Sweet Sauce. That's it's not sweet like the flavor. It's sweet like the business. So SuiteSauce.co. And I really just want to do like, here's my real plug. I just want to do really good work with good people that want to build something lasting that matters, that's going to help people and take care of them, take care of their workers. It's 2020. Let's just start doing things differently. I'm not all about the money, and I don't think these guys are either. But like, let's just work together and help each other. So that's my plug.
Nice.
Drop the mic. Boom.
Boom.
That's it. Episode 25.
In the books.
In the motherfucking books. What is up, people? Listen, I can't leave without giving a plug for us as well, right?
Plug it up. Plug it away.
So February 22nd, I think we're having a rapper coming. What's that guy's name?
Paul Wall's coming.
Paul Wall. My
goodness.
Let me see your grills, people. Let me see your grills. Paul Wall, February 22nd. Place on 7th?
Place on 7th. That's where we're going to start.
But there might be a little bit of pre-party. Might be a little bit after. I think, are we ready to announce the after party?
Yes.
Or are we going to wait?
Let's announce.
Oh, what are we doing for the after party?
Light nightclub.
Woo! Mandalay Bay, light nightclub. One of my favorite nightclubs in town.
It is. Shout out to Gen T, Connect, John Petty, Play Las Vegas, Light, hooking it all up.
Yeah, takes a tribe to build a mm-hmm. a person.
It does.
It takes a tribe to build this business.
It does. And yeah, we're launching. We got the pre-rolls. Full line of THC products brought to you by the Culture and Cannabis brand. We're going to start out with these pre-rolls. Hold it up there, Tony. Can you?
I don't know if you can see it, but
there it is. It's a 0.7.
They're beautiful. 0.75.
0.75. Pre-rolls will be available in all Nevada dispensaries.
Probably
going to start with one or two here in the beginning. We'll release all those details very soon.
Yeah, we're still working on that, but definitely want to give a quick shout out to our silent partner, Chuck. Not so silent now. People that you probably know Chuck. Chuck did all the design on this. Killed it.
Way to go,
absolutely
Chuck.
Crushed it. Put an awesome QR code that gives you a special gift.
What do you get with the QR code?
I don't know if I want to tell them yet. Or maybe it's going to be a surprise. Fuck it. I'm going to tell you guys. You get 2 free tickets to Paul Wall on February 22nd. So as soon as these drop, we'll be telling you where they're at. Go buy them. Get yourself a free ticket.
Get a free ticket, man.
Free ticket to Paul Wall.
For Culture and Cannabis 2020 season opener.
It's going to be the biggest cannabis event, not only in Vegas, not only the West Coast, but maybe the world.
Could be.
So we want to see you guys there. February 22nd. Tickets go on sale next week?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, people. Get your tickets tomorrow, February 22nd. We're doing pre-sale, $10, GA 15, and then at the door, $20. So get them quick, get them soon, or go pick up yourself a Culture and Cannabis pre-roll.
And get a free ticket.
And some swag. And some stickers. What else?
And a beautiful experience.
And the best experience in Las Vegas, people. Oh, and we're coming to Reno.
And we are going to Reno.
Oh.
We're going to Reno, people. Yes, so come. We're going to be in Reno.
It's cannabis for the culture.
Cannabis for the culture. It's amazing. And I'm excited. And that's episode 25.
Let's get it.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll check you guys out next Thursday. Peace out. Have a good one. Happy New Year 2020. Let's build something big.
Peace.